Welcome back to Talking Sense. I'm one of your hosts, Sammy.
And I'm Sierra.
And today we have two really awesome people with us today who we're getting to know. We got to know at lunch a couple weeks ago. We went to Hartigan's. Love Hartigan's. Great spot downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And so they are with the Civic Theater. We've got Danny and Emily, and I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Danny. I'm the Artistic and Educational Director.
And I'm Emily. I am the board president and a person, I guess. I do things.
So to get started and just kind of loosen up, we want to do a new game. So 20 questions in 2 minutes. These are just rapid fire. So first thing that pops in your head, that's perfect.
All right. Are we ready? Okay. Favorite cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cat person or dog person?
Cat.
If you were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Kiwi.
Strawberry.
Okay. Would you rather be 10 minutes late or 20 minutes early?
20 minutes early.
20 minutes early, but I'm usually 10 minutes late.
Same. Do you recharge best alone or with others?
It depends.
Okay.
Alone.
Alone? If you could instantly master one skill, what would it be?
Stage combat.
Love it.
Math.
Love it.
Also same.
Favorite holiday?
Halloween.
Okay. Morning routine must do?
Coffee.
Coffee, for sure.
Agree. Favorite pizza topping?
Green olives.
Bacon.
Oh. Green olives.
Oh. Wow. What song always gets you dancing?
Pink Pony Club.
Yes. Honestly, same.
Yes. Go-to comfort movie?
Pride and Prejudice.
Princess Bride.
Oh, similar. Okay.
Yeah.
First job you ever had?
I walked some kids to school. Their mom went to work really early, so I would wake them up, get them ready for school.
I worked on a chicken farm when I was 8.
A chicken farm?
You win.
Who's our bus driver? He would drive us from school to his farm, and then we'd walk back home.
Oh, my God. Okay. Would you rather win the lottery or travel for free for life?
Travel for free for life.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Favorite season?
Fall.
Fall.
Well, last show you binge watched?
Twin Peaks.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Would you rather never use social media again or never watch TV again?
There's a lot of good TV out.
Never social media. Ever again.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I feel like
that
could be a good thing.
Yeah, I think so.
In some ways.
No one can contact me more than I want them to.
Back to the 90s.
What app do you use the most?
New York Times games.
Do you play Wordle every morning?
I do. Did you get the Wordle today? I don't even remember what it was.
I did get it today.
I got it today, too. And I use the Finch app, too, which is really great.
Oh, the Finch app. Finch. That's good.
Okay. What food do you refuse to eat?
Meatloaf.
Tofu. I can't have soy, so.
Oh, well, yeah.
Your body said no.
My body said
absolutely not.
No. What is it about meatloaf? Is it like the ketchup flavor?
The texture. And the hot ketchup on top.
Yeah.
Wow.
No bueno.
It's fair. Yeah.
What if Pam Bilinski made it for you, though?
I would try if Pam did it. I would try if Pam.
If you had a time machine, what year would you visit first?
2016. Save Harambe.
Golden answer.
That's when her timeline's fractured.
Yeah.
All right, last one. What's your zombie apocalypse survival strategy?
Drink coffee and take a breath.
I got to find Eric McCandless.
Oh, hey.
He's our buddy from undergrad. He has a plan.
Yeah.
And then other than that, like, if I am injured, I do not want to be eaten. So, like, the people I'm with can take care. Yeah. Like a horse with a lame leg.
Yes.
Right.
I used to do longbow in 4-H, so I feel like I'm pretty ready.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
weird childhood. We can talk about that later.
Chicken farm. Chicken
farm.
Some people said, "Did you grow up in the Dust Bowl?" Yeah. No, I just grew up in the country.
Those were great answers.
Those were amazing. We did it. Not really in 2 minutes, but it was fun.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad to have you guys on our podcast today. especially in this historic year for the Evansville Civic Theater celebrating 100 years. Can you put in your own words the importance of the Evansville Civic Theater and share what the theater community brings to our local community?
I think that there are a lot of quotes that you see floating around here and there, that theater is an art form that everyone says all the time throughout decades that it's dying, and it never has. You can really see that in our community with Evansville Civic Theater having survived 100 years through so many different events throughout the past century, this century as well. Whew, man, what a time. But we made it through COVID. We made it through Great Depression. We made it through a couple wars. Like, no big deal. Huh. But we've been a constant in the community. Whenever you hear Evansville Civic Theater, I think a lot of people, what comes to mind is that historic theater on Columbia and Fulton, and we get to be back there. So we're just so excited to continue on that legacy and be an arts haven for the community.
Mm-hmm. It is an honor to have this opportunity to help lead and to help grow the theater community. As someone who just moved back a year ago, I went to college here and I wasn't really a part of it, but now I can be. And I see the fruition of what theater does in the community, because what we go back to is we all want a moment to step away from our daily lives and to be told a story, because stories are what make us human too. And understanding different stories and having conversations, and it leads to opening up our perspective. And I think that's what's so beautiful about theater is, even in the darkest times, people will go and try to find some light. And that's what we want to be, is hope and light and an open door for anyone to step into.
That was really moving. That came from your heart. It was really good. We can tell you guys are really passionate about what you do. We love that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned getting back into the theater, because you guys had a different location for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So can you tell us about that?
So Bossy High School was very gracious in letting us be in their space for the last 2 years. It's actually where Evansville Civic Theater started performing. So we started at Bossy High School out of their auditorium, moved to the Coliseum, then moved to our little theater on Columbia and Fulton. And it's so fun that in that moment where we were out of the building, we got to return to our roots. Full circle moment. And they were such great hosts to us. And the kids were really gracious letting us use their space too. And it was nice. It was home away from home for a little bit. It came with its own challenges. Like, we would build our sets at the old theater and have to transport all of that plus props to Bossy, build the set again. Wow. And roll from there. So it definitely had some challenges with logistics in that sense. But it was really nice. We got to do Fiddler on the Roof there a couple seasons ago. And that in particular, I was part of that cast. It was before I joined the board. And it was such a great experience. And there was so much room for everybody to be. We had a large cast. And it was so nice. There are a lot of us, anytime we go back to Bossy, we're thinking, oh man, we're back at Anatevka. If we're back sharing this story that's so important to us. But there were just some repairs that needed done on the building, the organization. We made it through COVID when a lot of our arts organizations throughout the country had to fold, had to close. Yeah. We were lucky enough to make it through. And the only option, it seemed, was to sell the building. And with that, we thought, okay, we're going to plan for the future, maybe end up somewhere else.
And thankfully, Lucas, who owns the building now, supports our vision of Civic and is giving us the space to still be in the building, helping us do structural fixes. Some people are asking if we're doing anything really cosmetic, and the answer is not at this moment. We are making sure that ensuring that the things we do have in there are safe for the community, like our plumbing and whatnot.
Electric and right. All that good stuff. We're hopefully going to paint one of the bathrooms. Yes. I think right now it's a nice orange and maroon.
It is bright and effervescent.
Yes. She is getting a little bit of a facelift too. On the outside, we've got fresh blue paint going on. Aww. And she looks so pretty.
I love that.
She's an old queen.
She is an old queen.
Yeah, but still keeping the history of it and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I mean, 100 years, that's a very, very long time. And Now that you're hitting that, how are you celebrating that 100-year benchmark?
Ooh. Well, in the spring, we are going to have a gala. So we're excited for that. Oh. So we're gearing up for that, working on fundraising. Our opening show is a play called Our Town, and it just lands perfectly because it is about community and our lives, how they're interconnected. And here I'll like pass the baton to the director of the show who's sitting right next to me.
So Our Town's really important because it is about community of growing up, finding love, and also handling death and the journey beyond. And that although we all have our own individualized memories of that, we have a community that also has handled that. You go to your community when these things happen. So it's about honoring memories. And that's kind of what's so beautiful about Our Town is it's all about community.
And it just fits right into our space because I think a lot of us that have acted there before have been in that space before. Like I mentioned to you all, the first time I acted there was about half my life ago. I guess it would just be 20 years. Okay, I'm not 40, but anyway, more than half my life ago. And there is just that sense when you walk in the building that it is saturated with those memories. A lot of people will say ghosts. We do have some ghosts, but like the echoes of performances past, you can feel that special things have happened in this space. And we're just thrilled to bring more and to have more. We had our first read through this past weekend and it was so cool.
Cried
like,
a little.
Yeah, you cried a little. Some of the cast cried a little. Like it's going to be something very special.
I think that's the one that we need to go see.
Our Town. Yeah, definitely.
I do.
Yeah. Well, come to the whole season. We'll see you at the whole season. Get your season ticket. $60.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so I know you guys have other shows that are happening. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us a little bit about each one? Yeah. Are they open? Like, is it known?
Yes, it is known. After Our Town closes, our next show will be Perfect Arrangement. That is set in the 1950s. It's a show that I was actually in 2017 in D.C. during the Pride Festival. And it was Source Festival that no longer happens, but there's other theater festivals thankfully happening there now. But it is about the Lavender Scare, which was during McCarthy's time. And they were trying to figure out who was homosexual, which was illegal back then. So this play kind of touches on that with humor, with brevity, and with honesty. And it's about two couples pretending to be married so they look like a normal 1950s family. Until it's a moment where they can no longer hide it as well as they thought they could. And then Peter Wendy is our educational program for our next wave. That is when we will be auditioning mostly high schoolers, some mentor actors in the community who are adults. And this one is a very special play because it's also about growing up. It is about the magic of being innocent and that vitality of youth. And what my goal is for this is to kind of give it a pre-production programming where the students will also be in charge of designing. They will be in charge of the lights. They will be in charge of the tech part and also with the lines. It is a 75-minute play, mostly like in one act. And I think it will give them an opportunity to grow some different things instead of just acting. I want it to open up to you're in charge of this production with the guides of the mentors and the directors.
That's awesome.
Right in between Perfect Arrangement and Peter Wendy, we have our first underground show. So those are our shows that are a little grittier. They might be a little darker. Sometimes they're a smaller cast. The first one is called I'm Gonna Marry You, Tobey Maguire, set in 2004 at the height of the Spider-Man movie phenomenon. A 14-year-old girl, I believe, teenager, kidnaps Tobey Maguire. She is the head of the fan club, and she wants him to marry her. So it's a dark comedy. It's got all of the nostalgia of the aughts.
And especially if you were a fangirl.
Dude, I totally was. Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I made many a collage to put in my binders of a Tobey Maguire. So that one's really fun. Can't wait for that. It actually got a little TikTok famous. Like,
it did.
We had someone come up to our booth at a Pride event and said, you're doing I'm Gonna Marry You, Tobey Maguire. Somebody very young who
starstruck.
Starstruck. Just so excited. Yeah, I heard about it on TikTok. I was like, TikTok show. Woo, love it. So it's gonna hit with the youths.
With the youths.
Yes.
After that, in the spring, we have our musical. It's Cache aux Folles, which is based off of a farce of the same name. And there's a famous movie also based off this farce called The Birdcage, starring Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. And it is so funny. It is about a couple who owns a drag club in France, in France, and their son is getting married to a girl whose father is a politician who is working against gay rights. And so the son asks them to tone it down, or like,
can we just not act like we are right now?
Can we not?
Just don't tell them you own a drag club.
Yeah. And there's some missteps in there. Like one parent, one of the fathers, one of the owners is game. He wants to do anything for his kid. It kind of delays talking to his partner about doing it. And that partner is actually the drag performer in the club, or one of the drag performers, and has a very emotional reaction about it. And what do you hide for others' sakes? What do you do for family? How far will you go? Are the things that we explore in that. And it's just super funny too. It's going to be a good time.
It's a romp.
It is a romp. That kind of, like, I kind of gave it a little damper, like, oh.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, it is going to be such a fun show.
It's going to be a blast.
So many great songs. Oh, yeah. And, like, hidden identity is a going to be a fun moment.
It is. Yes, indeed. Then our final show of the season is another underground play. It is called People, Places, and Things. And that one I'm super excited about. I'm excited about the whole season, honestly. But this play follows the story of a woman experiencing addiction. She gets to a point where she decides to check herself into rehab, and we see her detoxing. We see her navigating rehab. And the playwright, Duncan McMillan, did a lot of research with addicts, with centers who work with people experiencing addiction, to have a really authentic representation that I don't know that I've seen in theater before. But we actually see a scene in which the lead character, she starts to detox without medication at the rehab center, and she starts hallucinating. And that hallucination is represented with the other actors in the play dressed as her, moving about the room doing things as she watches herself move. And there's some other very cool elements to represent such a difficult concept to grasp unless you are going through it. Right. So I'm excited for that one to bridge the gap for some people who don't have any experience with addiction. They don't know somebody, or they may not know that they know someone with addiction. So we're hoping to work with some local organizations on that one and get some resources out to the community.
Because that's one thing, like, most of our shows are around family growing up or community. And although we don't talk about this part, this is a part of our community. How do you deal with people who have addiction? How do you help them? How do you help yourself too, while you see people going through it, even if you don't feel like you're having any emotions with it? There is a lot of stress that can go on with people dealing with it and also being a part of that.
It's a heavy one. It's funny at times, but it does not shy away from the reality of what people experience. So it's, you really get to step into someone else's shoes for that one.
I think they all sound so great. And I love that you guys pick topics that kind of push the boundaries a little bit and like force sometimes uncomfortable conversations, or you get to see a different perspective of things. Like, I think that's necessary. And I want to see them all.
We do still have our season tickets on sale. I'll have to plug that. Up until September 28th, which is the last performance of Our Town. After the fact, your tickets are $20 for our main stage show, $15 for the underground. So your season ticket gives you four shows for three.
Yeah, four shows. Then you're just paying for three.
There we go. That was easy.
Buy three, get one free.
Yeah.
There
you
go.
Yes.
That was a better way to say it.
You guys have five shows this year, though, right?
We have six shows. Our underground series is just not part of the season tickets.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, and we actually have one other production. So we have seven.
Oh my gosh.
We forgot about the Vagina Monologues.
Yes.
So this will be our second annual production of Vagina Monologues.
It is a one-night event, and we partner with the Albion Fellows Bacon Center. So the proceeds go to that organization to help out women in our community, mm-hmm. which is very important.
Yeah. We're really looking forward to that one, too. It's another series of uncomfortable stories right? or funny stories that you don't get to hide from.
Right. And yeah. it kind of gives you, it allows you to talk about things you normally are like, no, we don't really talk about that. Hush, hush. So it allows people to laugh together, to yeah. bond together over these basically monologues. Mm-hmm. And some of them are really honest. Some of them are hilarious. Like mm-hmm. I laughed, and we did it last year at the Universalist Church.
The Unitarian Universalist Church.
Yeah. And it was packed.
Wow.
And it was so fun. And also thanks to Sharon Dennis for making that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
She's great.
Is that one you can like drag your husband to and like make him sit here and like, this is what we have to go through?
Yes.
Yes. You should. You should yes. be like, actually, cool. this is mandatory.
Yeah.
Mandatory. We all said so. It's also a fun one to take your girlfriends to. Like, yeah. like your yeah. girl group. I think there's a part. Isn't there chanting? Don't we chant?
Yes.
During the show? There's yeah. some chanting
there's
that
some
happens.
There's some chanting that happens. Yeah. There's some.
some audience participation in other ways too.
Audience participation.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think it is a good, like, bring a husband along, bring your boyfriend, because
they'll
we don't
also
need,
find.
Yeah. They'll learn. They'll find things to connect to also. And why ignore what half the population experiences?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Love it. Okay. So we're doing our next segment now. It's broke or bougie. Mm. Okay. So we'll give you a scenario or like a for instance, and you have to explain, is this broke or bougie? Meaning to you, is this broke or bougie? Okay. This is not, and not everyone's going to have the same opinion. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, are you broke or bougie when it comes to subscribing to multiple streaming platforms?
Broke.
Yeah. I would say it's bougie to have a lot, but it makes you broke. So the prices keep jumping up and the quality isn't necessarily always keeping up. So broke.
Basically, you're just paying for satellite at that point.
Yeah.
Like DirecTV.
What streaming services do you have?
We have Netflix, Hulu with ads. Gotta watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. That yeah. just cracks me up.
I think we have Netflix and Hulu.
What's
and
the one that the game changed? That can't game
dropout. Okay. Dropout. This I do pay for this, and I also support them even though I don't have time to watch it. It's only $5 a month. Dropout is one of my favorite streaming services because they do new games like Game Changer, Make Some Noise. They have like D&D campaigns. So the nerd in me lives through this.
It's one that I need to subscribe to, and it's definitely populated with people who are having the best time, and that is like so fun
like
to
feel
see
good TV. Yeah. Like it makes you happy when you watch
it's so funny, and it's a lot of they get comedians on there sometimes, they have actors that will pop in, they do like Shakespearean improv. It's
oh my gosh.
Wild.
I've never heard of it. So the streaming service itself is called the
Dropout TV.
It's $5. I'll look into it.
It's wild.
Because I'm bougie when it comes to this. I feel like we subscribe to every single one. I'm not saying it's a financially smart thing to do, but I'm saying we do. Mm-hmm. And we bounce around from all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Us too. We have Apple TV and what do you mean, Prime.
So. Apple, Prime, Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus.
Disney.
Mm-hmm. Paramount Plus, Peacock. Mm-hmm. It's too many. Mm-hmm. You're right. I should just get like DirecTV again, like old school.
It's probably the same.
We're just going old school now. Vintage.
Vintage.
We're really big on physical media in my mm-hmm. abode. So we've got a whole bunch of Blu-rays. We've got vinyl too. So we're making sure, okay, in addition to the streaming services, we want to own that too. Just mm-hmm. to get, you know.
Yeah. Like, I have vinyl. I have Bob's Burgers records.
I have that too. Gosh. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Do either one of you have a VHS player still?
We have one at the theater that still works.
Wow.
I think we have one that does not work.
I have one in my garage.
my partner and I make movies, so we often have electronics that don't work to use as set pieces. Oh, yeah.
No, that's a good idea. Okay. Well, I think that worked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked. Okay. So for anyone who's not in the theater community, how do you cast actors for your performances?
Mm-hmm. So usually what happens is we'll put out an announcement via Facebook or Instagram. I'm not sure if we did an email this time. I don't think so.
I don't think we did. But occasionally we'll do that. We'll send out an email to our email list about upcoming auditions.
And then what we do is we'll do cold reads of the script, which means we get some scenes that we'll do and they get to work on them. We give adjustments and then they do it again. And mostly what we look for is just people who want to work well together. And we had so many people come out for Our Town. It was really hard to
36 or 37 people.
Yeah.
For a 20-person
cast. Yeah. And it was so hard to say no to so many lovely actors. But we also have 7 other things going on, so keep auditioning. But we had a lot of new people come and audition too from Henderson. So we've kind of opened the doors a bit more with people who've never been on a civic stage. And
there were a lot of people that came back to audition saying, I never thought I would get to act on this stage. And so it's kind of like a dream come true scenario. Like I said before, it feels like that. You walk into the space and you're like, something good's about to happen.
But what's great about this is you can put the specifics online. So it'll be like, these are the ages we're looking for. This is who we have children in Our Town, ages 10 up to 70. So we have a whole broad spectrum. And that's what Our Town's about. It's about community and seeing all the different generations.
Yeah. And there are several families that audition together. So we've got at least 2, 3, maybe 4 different family units that are part of the show, which was very cool to see. And for our other shows, the auditions are pretty similar. Sometimes in the past, we've had people prepare monologues. I don't love doing that, but it's like a 1 or 2 minute memorized piece.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you go on to cold reads from that. But whenever you jump right into cold reads, you're working with the material that you're going to be performing
later. You're working with people you might be cast with. So that way you get to see how they bounce off of each other. And what's so nice about these auditions is that it's free to be a part of community theater. I know in some areas around the world, sometimes you have to pay to be a part of it and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
The most you might have to pay for is some costume pieces at Goodwill. But it's fun. So I'm always like, just come in. If you're not sure, just if you're nervous, join us.
And anyone from the community.
Anyone.
Can audition.
During the season, we also will have different workshops. So I do an audition technique workshop to get people comfortable with auditioning if they've never done it before. I also do a monologue workshop. We're still working on getting our stage management workshop going, but we just finished a directing workshop. So people that were a part of that are now our assistant directors for the main stage. So we have 4 assistant directors that were a part of this 2-week directing workshop. So that's been really fun.
It has been very fun. And they are doing such a good job. The workshop went so well. They got to direct each other in scenes and giving them the opportunity to be part of this season this year. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool.
And if I'm interested in theater, but I don't want to be an actor per se, or maybe I'm dipping my toe in. Is there other things I can do to help?
Oh, yeah. That is where we need some of the most help. It's with painting or the tech side of it, helping with lights, helping with the set. Like right now we're going to have a volunteer day August 9th. So that will be going out soon with more information, but it's inviting and it's a meet and greet for everyone who wants to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also when we're going to be putting up some more of our town.
Oh yeah. Set. It's like a come meet us, get to know us. We're going to have pizza. It'll be a good time from 2 to 8 PM.
If you ever feel like you want to volunteer for anything, we have our volunteer form online and we always are in need of volunteers.
Yes.
Okay. So best thing, if people of the community want to get involved, go to the website and fill out a volunteer form.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Easy enough.
Yeah. And if they're interested in auditioning, they should look at Facebook, Instagram.
They can look at Facebook, Instagram. We will usually put information up on the website too. So the next one should be coming up in early September. It is coming up in early September. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll have links on all of our posts to their stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Is the first audition, is it like they do on TV where it's like, you don't want somebody to like send in a video, right? Like you come to the casting call and then you do the cold reads.
For accessibility, sometimes if people are out of town or they have a work commitment, because not everyone has the ability to take that time off to audition. We have one on Saturday and then one on Tuesday from 6 to 9:30 mostly. Mm-hmm. But if people are like, hey, I can't make those times, but I can send in a video. I've done that before.
Okay.
Just to help people out, because I understand like schedules can be difficult to work around.
Yes, but that's not mandatory if you make the days that when the auditions are being held.
If you have time during those days to make those days.
It's good to show up for those.
It is much better to show up.
This is a hard question. Uh-oh. And you're not playing favorites. But let's say you can only recommend one show of the seven this season. Of course, you want everyone to see every single one. Mm-hmm. Which one would you pick?
I'm going to say right now I'm biased because it's going to be Our Town, because I'm working with the cast.
I will say People, Places, and Things. I'm very excited about that one. But everything is going to be so great this season. I'm excited to direct Lacage with Danny, too. And Our Town is just – Our Town is going to be something special. So to me, that's the given, like be there, especially opening night. Like, it's going to be so special to be back at that
the
theater.
The first opening in, what, 3 years since the doors closed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When is opening night?
September 19th.
September 19th. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. What is one thing that you wish everyone understood about the Civic Theater? Just one thing.
I think that something that we are working on as a board and as an organization, and it's been great having Danny along for the ride with this, is reminding everybody that the door is open. We are here for what the community needs. A theater is a gym for empathy, and this is a place where people can go to learn, people can go to explore their creativity, to experience heartbreak safely, to experience those high joys and those low lows in a space where afterwards you can have a conversation and move forward. And Civic has been here 100 years, and we'd love to be here for 100 more. I think it speaks volumes that we've been able to survive this long, and we're here for the community.
And without community support, I mean, we're definitely boots on the ground. We are a small board, but we're a mighty board. And it takes a lot of effort to keep a theater running and going and organizing and cleaning. So the volunteer days are really important to us, because it helps us to kind of get our feet back under us after a show, or after we're done with opening night, or we're closing a show and starting a new one. Without the community support, we would not be where we are today.
Because Danny, you're kind of a one-man show, right? Like boots on the ground. Like you do a lot of the stuff behind the scenes too, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I also do the box office administration, educational workshops, and then artistic director as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You wear many hats.
But with a lot of support.
Oh.
So I'm able to do
the
all that.
The support is needed, right?
Yeah. So it's been wonderful to hear about the theater. Just to wrap things up, we're going to ask one more question that is completely off topic on that.
Love it.
Since we're credit union, we always want to know about financial tips. And what is one that you wish you would have known at 18?
If you can't pay for it twice, don't buy it.
Oh, that's good. I would have looked more closely at student loans.
I'm still looking at mine.
Me too.
Read the fine print.
Yes.
No, for those are both good ones. Well, we thank you guys so much for being on here. I feel like we are just getting to know each other, but after today, like, I really feel like that we know you guys, and we're so grateful that, like, we've built this, like, connection between us now. We've got some exciting things coming up. We're going to have, like, a Halloween party this fall, and Danny's going to be there.
I don't
Hopefully
know.
Hopefully you come.
Maybe. We'll see. Perhaps I'll be a wrangler.
Yeah, so lots of exciting things coming up. The Civic Theater is going to be super busy, lots of shows. So if you're listening to this, get your season tickets, buy your tickets, go to their website, which is...
It is evvcivic.org.
evvcivic.org. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We've had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Until next time.
This podcast is for general information purposes only. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Heritage Federal Credit Union. Heritage Federal Credit Union is federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Heritage is an equal housing lender. Membership restrictions apply. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions are subject to change without notice. Loans may be subject to credit review and approval, and property insurance may be required. The rate may vary depending on each individual's credit history and underwriting factors. Call 1-800-858-1693 for details about credit costs and terms.